Beach.org to schedule your appointment today. Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care.
KBOE Live and Local, good morning. It is 8:25, one above, wind chill of minus 11 on this Friday morning. And that brings us to What's In Outdoors, hosted by our good friend Phil Totten. What's In Outdoors brought to you this morning by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Bluestem does not have it, it probably is not around. That's how that works. And also brought to you by Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto always, always take great care of you. Well, let's see, Studio North, Council Grove, Phil, how are things at the home base here this morning?
Oh, Ron, it is cold and frigid, and I am so ready for spring. How about you?
I think a lot of people are. We can get through today. Things will be improving much, I think, Phil.
I know it. I'm really looking forward to it. Of course, I'm watching the birds out at the bird feeder. Did have a murder out here the other day that some people find hard to believe, but a meadow lark took advantage of a little junco right out here before my very eyes.
Oh, gee.
And some people don't know that happens in nature, but, you know, when it gets this cold and frigid and things going on, sometimes I just wonder about being in the house with a woman this long going on here. I know some cabin fever is going on. Ron, I don't know if a lot of our listeners are aware. What's In Outdoors created a fund when I started doing radio, and it's through the Oregon Community Foundation. And we offer scholarships to kids that want to, well, I can't call them kids, or college students that want to go into a Kansas school and become an outdoor writer, communicator, even be lucky and meet someone with KVOE and become a radio and show host. But through our journeys, I meet a lot of people, and now since I started doing radio, social media has really come in, and I run across a fella named Edgar Castillo. And Edgar has lived quite an adventurous life, and he has become a writer. And I wanted him to talk about his journey on becoming a writer now that he's always been through the Marines and as a policeman in Kansas City. And now he goes under the name Hunt Birds. And, of course, anything with hunting birds and bird dogs, I want to talk to this guy. So, Edgar, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, how has your journey happened in your lifetime to become an outdoor writer? Where did you grow up, and who introduced you to the great outdoors?
I actually was born in Central America in the country of Guatemala. And basically my family and I came up here in the early to mid-80s. My dad was not a hunter. A neighbor introduced my father to bird hunting. And obviously a young boy wanted to emulate his dad, wanted to follow in the same footsteps. So I just started bird hunting. And just kind of grew from there. And it after my first deployment, after college, when I joined the Marine Corps, when I came back, is really when it took a hold pretty seriously, and I just used it throughout my career as a law enforcement officer throughout my 27 years, and it's just been my staple to get outdoors and just kind of recharge and reset, and it kind of led me into outdoor writing about four years ago.
Did you come straight from Central America and settled, I believe you live in the Kansas City area?
Yes, sir. Yep. The story goes that my grandfather literally just threw a dart and it landed in the Kansas City metro area. And this is where we, put down our roots.
That's one thing that I find really interesting. Of course, I do some things up here at Emporia State with kids, and they come to school up here, and it's really something seeing a difference with some youngsters that come from a metro area versus ones that grow up in the country, and they're learning. And I know a young fella come over to Riverside School one time, and inside the gym, we had archery equipment set up. It was called a national archery in the school program, and he just couldn't believe it that kids were shooting bows and arrows in the school. So I imagine it was quite an adventure for you to get out with bird dogs and to see what upland game bird hunting was all about.
Yes, sir. Like I said, hunting was not not the norm, not a leisure or sporting activity where we were from. And so when we came up here, you know, my dad just kind of fell in love with it, and I just tagged along, and the more I did it, the more I fell in love with it myself. And, you know, my dad got a bird dog. We had Brittany's and Labs, and like I said, it just grew with each passing season. It was just my time to be out in the field with my dad.
Well, I got involved with riding Edgar back in 1996, and it was just on a sort of a freak deal. We did a youth program out of Dave Holland's Sporting Clays, and it was introducing youth and families to the great outdoors, and that's something I'm very passionate about now and still do. But anyway, I was doing a forced retrieve demonstration. Of course, I was letting people know the fundamentals. I didn't want to show them everything, because that can be a little bit scary sometimes to people to see that if you're going to force a dog to retrieve. It's really good to run into dogs that are natural retrievers and work with that so you don't need to put them through that. But the Bryn Maycock was the sports writer at the time for the newspaper, and he published that he would like to get an outdoor writer. So I waited a couple of weeks, and nobody ever applied for that job. And as to me, we just had to get more people, even back in 1995, 96, into the great outdoors to see what the Lord has given us out here to appreciate. And so I started writing back then. I waited 2 weeks. Nobody applied for the job. And so I wrote for the Gazette for about 12 years. And no formal training, just doing homework in schools and, you know, expressed myself a couple of times in some papers in college. So, did you follow along that way to become a writer? How did you fall into to your passion now?
No, it literally just kind of fell into my lap by accident. As I said, I retired a few years ago after 27 years as an officer. Due to the assignments and special units and my position, I had to be a good report writer, obviously. And so with that, my two young daughters just kind of pushed me along to send in a gear review, and that it was very well received. And then after that, it just really just kind of snowballed effect into a lot of different opportunities. And that just really opened the door to where I am now, where I've written for, I don't know, maybe 30 different outlets, magazines, print and digital, and I'm just, you know, going to try to enjoy it as long as I can.
Are you into doing podcasts?
I've been a guest on several podcasts, maybe over a dozen or so, but not a little bit too technical for me. I'll let that, you know, someone else could do that. But I've been a guest several times on different shows.
When I need to laugh when you step someone like me into a position to become a writer. And one of the events I did was out at Dry Creek, and the Gazette gave me a camera. And I remember some adventures with a camera, one of them old Brownie cameras that my mother had, that when we developed those pictures, we never knew what it was until we were able to make out a nose. Evidently, she had the camera turned upside down or something. Well, they give me a camera to go out and do this program. So I was trying to figure out how to work this camera. And so I went and talked with Kim Holland, who was Dave's wife. I said, Kim, can you give me some tips on working this camera? She said, well, Phil, you need some film. And so that would be a good place to start. That's how much of a beginner I was, Edgar. But are you into photography? Do you take a camera and take pictures on your events that you do and for your stories?
I take all my own photos, but that is a question that I get asked a lot. I mean, I've got some basic photography skills, obviously taking evidence and, you know, photos of suspects and, you know, interactions that I came across with working, on my job. But, I just use my iPhone. I just kind of taught myself how to take photos, and I get a lot of questions, especially from magazines, because they think that I use a camera, and a lot of people are kind of hesitant to use the iPhone or just the cell phone in general to utilize the images for magazines. But I found that if the outlet has a pretty good art or layout department, they can do, you know, wonders with the images that are sent in. And like I said, mine turn out pretty darn good, and so I'll continue doing that. I think if I throw in a camera, it's just going to take away, because I take a lot of photos in the field on the go, and, you know, maybe 100 and maybe 2 or 3 will come out, and that's what I'll use, you know, to help me tell my story. So.
Oh, yes, sir. A picture's worth 1,000 words. I work basically off my Android. And this is another story. I was pretty easy going with an iPhone and knew how to work with it until the ladies with Flint Hills Life Channel and O'Audreg, and they said, Phil, and my wife, you need to get an Android. So I changed phones, and I'll tell you, I was lost. They changed the apps and the text so much, and, you know, I just can't keep up with it. But I seem to do a pretty good job in my mind anyway with the pictures I take and people enjoy them. And but to really appreciate what you do there, and I do want to talk more about your bird dog experiences. Do you have a particular breed you like over another one in your travels that you see that you like more than others?
It just kind of changes every time I run across a different breed that I haven't hunted behind, which is a pretty good variety. My best friends, a small group of guys that I hunt with, are about 4 or 5 of us. You know, they've got GSPs, French Brittany's, Drots. So I, you know, that's what I'm used to. But I've hunted behind, you know, setters and big ranging dogs such as English pointers, and as well as, you know, little cocker flushing dogs, and just, you know, a wide gamut of breeds. But I would tell you, to answer your question right now, I've been hunting a lot behind a couple of French Brittany's, and they're just funny little energetic dogs that just go all day long, and they're just, you know, they have a great sense of smell, and you know, we've gone on quite a bit of birds.
Where have your travels taken you on assignments or stories that you've done? I know some of the places that I, and the stories that I see on your social media page, it's not just around Kansas, so that does allow you to travel quite a bit?
Definitely. I've been very, very fortunate, very blessed. A lot of people that follow me, you know, I run all over Kansas, hitting a lot of places that are not very well known, chasing, all types of birds. But, I've been going to Alaska the last couple of years, Southwest, you know, Arizona for desert quail. I've gone to Minnesota for grouse, you know, Montana, Wyoming for sage grouse and sharpies and Colorado for ptarmigan. And, you know, like I said, my wife is, very supportive, and like I said, I try not to abuse that, and she's pretty great about, you know, pushing me to go to places that I've always talked about or read about. So yeah,
I'm sure you understand a happy wife is a happy life.
I've learned that here,
and I don't know if I mentioned my first wife Myrna, who would take care of my bird dogs when I was on the railroad, and she even field trialed. She was with the Emporia Police Department. So I do want to thank you for that service and that service you've done with the Marines. And I would do need to go to break right now, Edgar, and I want to have you back just to talk about the Pheasant Fest that's coming up. So let's go to that first break, and we'll get right back with you.
All right, sounds good, Phil. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors here, KVOE Live and Local.
Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
The only thing better than a new pair of boots is a new pair of boots on sale. During Bluestem's boot sale, they're reducing prices on men's and ladies' boots to make room for new styles. Save on boots for work, boots for play, boots for getting all dressed up. Justin, Durango, Timberland Pro, Wolverine, Ariat, and lots more of your favorite brands. Bluestem's got them on sale. So kick up your heels and head on out to the early season boot sale going on now at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Is your car due for a checkup? Express Tire and Auto's here to help you with all your maintenance needs. Locally owned and operated, serving Emporia for over 30 years, they keep your car running smoothly and safely. And with financing available for larger jobs, Express Tire makes it easy to keep your vehicle in top shape. Call Express Tire today at 620-343-9994. Your car deserves the best, and so do you. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th near the Water Tower.
KVOE Live and Local, you are tuned in to What's In Outdoors Friday morning, 8:41. It's 2 above zero with a wind chill of minus 10. Studio North, Council Grove, Phil Totten. Program here this morning, Phil, things will be warming up, so your wish is going to come true.
Well, I trust you and Chuck a lot more than I trust all the different weather forecasts that I see, different kind of, you know, report on this and that. I mean, one day it varied from 2 to minus 2 to minus 14 degrees. I just didn't know where to go, so I didn't go nowhere. I stayed here in the house and wanted the sun to come out and melt my driveway. But, no, I'm looking out now that the birds are really coming in and using the feeder, and I think about, and we've discussed this before, just how hard these conditions are on quail. Of course, the season's over now, and so people shouldn't be out chasing them, but I remember one time the quail season went to the end of February, and I hunted the public areas around Melbourne, and the quail that we did find, you could tell that they were really suffering. So then you come into the thought of supplemental feeding, and to me, if you really think your home coveys of quail need some food, I would definitely go get some and scatter that out in an area, maybe, you know, close to the brush, close to the trees, so where they don't need to venture out in the snow and become prey to a hawk or anything that might come in there. But listeners, we are talking to Edgar Castillo. He's goes by the pen name Hunt Birds. He is an avid outdoor person. He loves bird dogs like me. I've been around them since, 5, 6 years old when one of them drugged me around the block when I took it out for a walk. But Edgar's done a lot of things. I jumped up a little bit too soon. I do want to talk about Pheasant Fest. But Edgar, as a young writer, when you first started and you had a good piece of work, How did you go about getting that published? Is there a way to contact a publisher or working that, or even, you know, writing a book? How does a young writer go get into the mainstream like you have?
Great question. I just kind of figured things out myself. I wish I would have had a mentor or someone to kind of guide me along, but I just kind of just, you know, kept at it, just kind of used my own pathway to get where I needed to get. And I just, you know, reached out to different magazines and editors, and obviously I pitched my storyline pretty good, you know, with the hook, and which made them feel that, you know, they needed, you know, to have my story in their publication. And I just kind of kept the same model these last, you know, few years, and I've just learned that, you know, having a good story trying to be personal about it. All my stories are, you know, about my father or my buddies, and, you know, I try to have, you know, some life lessons thrown in there. It's just really about pitching the story.
Well, Edgar, we talked about the Outdoor Writers of Kansas, and, well, it used to be the Outdoor Writers of Kansas. Now it's the Outdoor Communicators of Kansas, since we have so many different ways to communicate and get the word out on what we do. I know you're a member of the OWAA, that's the Outdoor Writers Association of America. Is that right, or goes on as being a... Go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, I was just going to agree. Yes, I am a member, a board member, and a committee member of OWAA. It's actually the oldest outdoor writing organization in the U.S.
Does OWAA, when you got your membership into that and talking with like-minded people, did some of the programs you did they have some, say, maybe craft building, you know, things that would guide you to help you become a better outdoor writer? Of course, you mentioned mentors, and my mentor was Jim Ramberg, who wrote for the Topeka Capital Journal. And with Jim, I just learned so much about the outdoors and sharing our love for it. And it to me, it is more of a passion than it is a job. Just that if you really have that passion to get out to people what you love about the outdoors and how that affects your family and getting everybody out there, then it makes that a little bit easier. So is something like joining OWAA, would you think that would benefit some of our young writers?
Oh, definitely. It has guided me and served me very well in just learning the ins and outs of, you know, the outdoor writing field. You know, obviously you got to meet a specified, prerequisites. But other than that, and they're not very stringent. But after that, you know, it's just like any organization. You know, I was part of several as an officer, and it really is just how you make it. You know, you can pay your dues and just kind of sit on the sidelines, and, you know, some people are fine with that. That's not my personality, and I'm just one of those guys that just dives in. So I've taken advantage of, you know, the webinars, the craft improvement conferences that they offer, as well as just, you know, networking, and then utilizing everything that the organization has to offer, you know, on their website, as well as just, you know, talking to the various people and the editors that they invite to speak at their events. But yes, I would definitely tell anyone that's interested in outdoor writing or outdoor communication, you know, photography, podcasting, an author, publishing, anything like that, if you look into OWAA, to advance their you know, their career as an outdoor writer.
Well, I got to go to that last break, and why don't you come right back with us, and we do want to discuss the 2025 National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. They're March 7 through 9 at Kansas City Convention Center there. And I'd like to know what you're going to be doing there and what can someone find when we get to that show. So we'll be right back with you, Edgar. Appreciate you.
All right, Phil Totten. What's in Outdoors, KVOE, 848. Good morning.
Is your car due for a checkup? Express Tire and Auto's here to help you with all your maintenance needs. Locally owned and operated, serving Emporia for over 30 years, they keep your car running smoothly and safely. And with financing available for larger jobs, Express Tire makes it easy to keep your vehicle in top shape. Call Express Tire today at 620-343-9994. Your car deserves the best, and so do you. Express Tire and Auto, 806 East 12th near the Water Tower.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supplies got it.
Hey, did you see those chicks walking by? Poultry in motion. I'm talking about Blue Stem's expanded poultry department with everything for chickens, ducks, and geese, and watch for their bi-monthly Chick Day ads. And those little critters you call family deserve the best from Blue Stem's pet supply section. Pick up top pet food brands like Science Diet, Diamond, Iams, and Purina. If you need it, Blue Stem's got it. See ya at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE Live in local sunshine, 2 above 0, wind chill of minus 10 out there here on a Friday morning. You are tuned in to What's in Outdoors, brought to you by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply and Express Tire and Auto. Outdoors. What's In Outdoors, hosted by Phil Totten, Studio North, Council Grove. Phil, back to you.
Thank you, Ron. I'm here with Edgar Castillo, lives in the Kansas City area, and he's involved with the National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. That's going to be at the Kansas City Convention Center March 7th through 9. I do know on March 7th there's what you call a bird dog parade. Me and my buddy Joe Bragg's going to come and bring his little dogs that he's had. And Joe, he has fell in love with the English pointers, I think. Psycho Sue and Little Myrne stand down there at the cabin. His Drake made him that Drake. Right or wrong, Edgar, I don't know. But you'll meet Joe. And, of course, he got his dogs out from Hackberry Kennel there in Shelby, Iowa, Bob Cones. Just a great guy to visit with, and it takes me back to when I used to talk with Bob Whaley. And of course, Whaley, he started the Elhew line of pointers. So what can a showgoer expect to find at this year's Pheasant Fest, Edgar?
Oh, it's going to be a great event. For those that don't know anything about the event or never heard of it, or you know, maybe have heard about it, they can expect just a wide variety of things to do, things to see. There's going to be a lot of well-known outdoor, I don't know if you want to call them celebrities, but, you know, there's going to be cast and members of the Meat Eater crew. They're going to be on-site giving various presentations and speaking, as well as other well-known outdoor personalities. You know, you're going to have, I don't know, I think the last time I saw the list, you're probably looking at 400, maybe more exhibitors. If you're a bird hunter, expect to see anything, you know, all types of gear, whether it's dog training, Garmin to bird vests, boots. I mean, if you're wanting to look at gear and or places to go, this is the place to attend to get all that information and just meet, you know, just a lot of different people that are, you know, in this sport.
I tell you, I'm really looking forward to that, Edgar, and appreciate you being on the show. Of course, you can find so much good information and so many good people to talk to at these outdoor shows. And same thing with going to your local, or what I call an NGO, a non-government organization that's involved with conservation, to go to these local events are just a real small part of what you'd be doing, like at Pheasant Fest. And I know they have a big dinner and everything out there, but there's just so much we need to do to get involved with conservation and supporting our outdoor world. So, Edgar, appreciate you being on the show and looking forward to meet you there up in Kansas City.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me on.
Ron, we do have a young person in Emporia is really making some waves. You had her on the show last month, and of course she's been involved at not only the Kansas legislature speaking for the Kansas State Rifle Association, and she's also been in Iowa talking to some people there. So Megan Hilbish, I just can't say enough about this young lady, and I know that she's going to be having a Kansas Hunter Education Advanced Upland Game Bird Hunting class there. He's also going to be hosting a Hunter's Ed class. So anybody interested in Hunter's Ed or needs to have this class, because we do have turkey season coming up, spring's turkey season, is you can go to safehunters.com and find out where you can get one of these classes. So that ought about do it for this month's show, Ron. Appreciate you. And we are in the process now of getting everything together for our fifth annual now Summer Long Family Fun Fishing
All right.
Contest.
Looking forward to it.
That's another little idea that I copied from Jim Ramberg back in 1995. That he had these contests, and my next door neighbor down here at the lake, he won it one week with a 26 pound channel cat on a little bitty crawdash. Well, keep the faith, listeners. Come on, spring.
There we go. Stay warm, Phil. Thanks. Good job.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Phil Ton. What's In Outdoors brought to you by Express Tire and Auto. Got John and Jenny and the exceptional crew out there on East 12th near the water tower, and Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply. If Bluestem does not have it, it probably is not around. Bluestem Farm and Ranch on West Highway 50. Good morning. It's 8:54.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate in an all-night session working to pass a budget resolution that will be key to enacting many of President Trump's initiatives. A federal judge will consider a request to further block the Trump administration from freezing trillions of dollars worth of grants and loans that fund everything from clean energy to bridge repairs. You'll make it if you can last one more day. That's what ABC's Ginger Z says about the freezing cold temperatures, including in the South.
Macon this morning, Mobile, Birmingham, Memphis, all tying or breaking daily record lows, but this is the end of it. We are going to see the warm-up. Here it comes. Nashville into the 60s, New Orleans close to 70, and Chicago will go up close to 50 as we start next week.
In court today, accused CEO killer Luigi Mangione, several of his supporters lined up outside the New York City courtroom. The next phase of the hostage release will happen tomorrow in Israel. Six hostages are set to be released in exchange for more than 600 Palestinians held in Israeli jails. This is ABC News.
KVOE Live and local sunshine, 2 degrees, wind chill of minus 10, and the news continues with the headlines from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom. Here's Chuck Samples.
Thanks, Ron. Good morning, everybody. Lyon County Commissioners voting 2-1 yesterday to approve a $230,000 allocation to Flint Hills Technical College. Chris Bartell voting against, saying that he wasn't involved in the budgeting cycle last year.